Did Valdez hijack Amy Allville's playlist? What's going on over here? Played some Sugar Ray.
They very played nice. Godsmack earlier.
He did. That's true.
I don't think Amy's into that.
I saw a video. I'm pretty sure it was of him. It wasn't like an imitator.
Of Mark McGrath?
Like singing, like I think it was like New Year's Day or something.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my God, it was so
bad.
Did
he hit the wall?
I mean, he literally, he didn't hit a note.
Oh no, it's
he
sad.
He didn't hit a note.
Very sad, very sad. All right, we head back out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to our friend Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman. Logan, good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you guys doing? It's kind of like afternoon for you guys, though, almost at this point, right?
It's pretty close. I mean, lunchtime is basically 2.5 hours from now, so it's pretty close.
It's wild, man.
Are you as surprised as the rest of us, as I would guess most of the rest of the DMV, that the Commanders are one of the last four teams standing? They're in the NFC title game. I mean, I kind of chuckled in the offseason when Dan Quinn said, look, we're not rebuilding, we're recalibrating. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. That's what people say when they have to inherit a roster that's just decimated in the wake of Ron Rivera. But look, this team's one step away from the Super Bowl if they can upset the Eagles. They've already done it with the Bucs. They already did it with the Lions. Can they do it against the Eagles at the Link this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, so to your first question, am I surprised? Yeah, I'm very surprised. And I think it's one of those things where it's like you look at the roster and you say, at the beginning of the season, it's not the same group as it is at the end of the season. And I think that's a big testament to coaching. So when it comes to upsetting the Eagles, I think right now, the way they're playing football, like anything is possible. And I didn't think I'd be saying that at the beginning of the year. The way Jaden Daniels is playing, the way Cliff Kingsbury's calling games, the way Joe Witt Jr. has maximized the pass rush, has found ways to insulate the coverage groups. Like, it's been just an incredibly impressive job by everybody involved, players, coaches, personnel decisions. Like, if you look at some of the free agents they've brought in, like Dante Fowler having kind of a career year, Dorrance Armstrong able to create consistent pressure, Frankie Louvu doing what he's doing, Bobby Wagner, you know, having an excellent, you know, year to kind of add to that Hall of Fame resume. Zach Ertz is a third down machine. Like, all of these moves that said, oh, if you look at them the right way, oh, they could benefit you and could be big deals down the road, they all kind of hit. And so I think it's just such a unique experience to watch the coaching, the players, the personnel decisions all kind of convene in this way to make this team that can beat anybody in football any given weekend. And that's something that I haven't experienced in since forever, and it's great to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, you were a part of a magical run there with RG3. When you were in the midst of that, though, what did it feel like what you think these players are feeling? Or did you feel like you were stealing games and you didn't really belong?
Shoot, man, I hope so. I mean, if they felt anything like we felt in 2012, then they got a good shot to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And what I mean by that is, like, near the end of that 7-game win streak, like, we felt that we could beat anybody in football. Like, you could not have told me that we weren't going to the Super Bowl. And obviously that ends with that Robert injury and the confidence of the team is totally destroyed and all those different things. But man, like we were the best team in football that year. And I know that sounds crazy given our record and given the rush that we had at the time, but there's something very powerful about believing in yourselves and believing in the team. And I think Dan's just done such a great job of slowly building that over the course of the year. And you hear these mic'd up segments and the faith these guys have in each other. Like, it's there, man. And so, you know, you got to go out and play the game, and Philadelphia's a heck of a ball club. But, man, if they're feeling anything like we were feeling in 2012, like, well, they got
don't
a really
you think,
good shot.
Don't you think they are, Logan? They have
to be. I
mean,
I would assume so. Yeah. I would assume so. Yeah, I mean, you got, I mean, a guy that, in my opinion, should be in the kind of the MVP discussion, Jaden Daniels. And people say, oh, like, he's not on the same level as Joe Burrow and, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. And I understand that. But in terms of value add to your team in big moments, critical situations, man, he has got to be up there in terms of conversation. And when you have a guy like that in the room, in the building, you just it makes it so much easier to trust and believe in the team that you can pull anything out. And so you see that, to me, when you watch the defense play, you see when the offense in those end of game, end of half scenarios. So, yeah, 100% they think that way. I think Jaden Daniels is a big part of that.
I'm wondering if any of the quarterbacks you played with, and it doesn't have to be somebody that was just like Jaden Daniels in terms of skill set, was like him in what we're hearing in terms of preparation about like when he gets to the building. Now maybe they didn't have the VR sets that he uses, but his poise and that. I mean, you played with a bunch of quarterbacks. It could have been somebody like Jimmy G. I don't know, or is that typical of all quarterbacks that you hear that they get to the park at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., whenever the heck he gets there?
Yeah, no, I think it's if you want to be an NFL quarterback in the NFL, you have to study and prepare at a really high level. And the guy that to me embodied that was Matt Ryan when I was in Atlanta with him for a year. Like, he would get to the facility super early. He had a car service so that he could watch film to and from work in the mornings. He would come in on Tuesday with Matt Schaub and Kurt Benkirk, and they would do their own kind of red zone install, third down. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd go through all short yardage. They'd go through the whole thing at blitz reels. And they would do that on their own. Then they'd come together after they compiled the report, and Matt would work with the coaching staff to develop the game plan. Like, he was in it, man. And if you want to be great, if you want to be great at that position, I cannot think of an excellent quarterback that I've heard about, interacted with, that didn't have that going for him. And so for this young man to have this kind of system and routine set up already, it's just so special. And it gives me so much confidence that he's going to continue to improve and continue to get better. And so, yeah, it's an essential part of playing the position at the NFL level. And he seems to have that kind of locked up.
Logan, can you get specific with what Cliff Kingsbury has been able to devise each week offensively that has helped this team? You know, just like the average football fan really doesn't see all these seasons, Daniels, you know, dropping back and hitting open guys. But you watch the films and you know offense. Can you get specific on why Kingsbury is so good at what he does?
Yeah, so I think the main thing, kind of the highest level thing that he does really consistently is he just uses formation to kind of find numerical advantages. Because most defenses want to play, like, let's say you got three receivers to your left. The defense wants to play four receivers over that structure, right? Mm-hmm. Or four DBs over that structure, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are going to play that way, you're going to be light in the run surface. And so now we can run the football against these looks. And I think when you watch the Detroit game, that was a big reason why the Commanders were able to run the football so effectively. They really kind of abided by this 4-over-3 principle. And then because you've got the splits a little bit wider when that fourth element, that fourth DB is trying to blitz, now Jaden Daniels can see it. Now I can get the ball out. Now I can change protections. Now I can kind of make sure that I'm reading this defense appropriately because of the splits and because of the spacing of those, you know, 3-by-1s, 2-by-2 wide, you know, kind of stack looks. And I think that's been a huge element. And the other thing, I got to give Cliff a ton of credit for this, is one of the hardest things to do as a coordinator is fight the instinct to show everything you know. It's about what the quarterback knows and about what the quarterback's comfortable with. And so each week when you watch the game plan and you watch what's presented, it's a version of the same thing from the week before. It's all stuff Jaden Daniels likes and feels comfortable with. But Cliff does such a good job of putting a little bit of window dressing on it. Like, they run spot probably more than any other team in the NFL. 5-yard sit, corner, someone in the flat. They run it so frequently, but it looks different every single week, so you can run that. And Jaden Daniels can get these easy button throws week in and week out. Couple that with some of the pre-snap RPO looks, right? And it's not like a true RPO where you're reading it in the snap. It's like, I'm just reading numbers. We got a wide split here. Think about the touchdown Terry McLaurin had last week. They're bringing a nickel pressure. He can see it because that bunch is so wide. I throw a little bit, basically a neutral throw, a throw right at the line of scrimmage, and then Terry McLaurin takes it 56 yards for a touchdown. Those are easy button throws, easy concepts, stuff that Jaden feels comfortable with so that he's not leveraged all the time, so that when it's that big throw down the field to Deami Brown, he can just sink it. You know, it's not, he has 4 or 5 really challenging, really difficult throws a game, and he just absolutely knocks him out of the park. Couple that with his ability to, Jaden's ability to keep you on schedule. Like, Cliff has done a lot for him, and Jaden's done a lot for the offense. It's a really fun relationship to watch. But I think maybe the most important thing Cliff does is saying, this is what Jaden does well. I'm going to find ways every single week to make sure we get to this stuff and absolutely knock it out of the park.
Talking to Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman on the Rude Guest Hotline. I don't want to spend more than a minute on this, but since we're talking about offense, I'm sure you appreciate what you see in Ben Johnson's offense. But it's like he was almost an audition and he wanted to show everything in that game and just got too cute. What was your take on Ben Johnson's offense in general and then what he did in this game against Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I love Ben Johnson's offense. I love the way they've kind of compiled that offense. You know, they've got an absolutely murderous offensive line. They've got a dynamic running back in the vein of Christian McCaffrey that can beat you in a multitude of ways. They've got the deep speed of Jameson Williams. They've got the underneath kind of route running nuance of Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, it's a really well-designed, well-cultivated offense. And everyone's kind of on him about, you know, calling that trick play with Jameson Williams late in the game. But I don't think, to me, that's more of an indictment, honestly, of Jared Goff. And I think when you look at Jared Goff, who's had a really tremendous season, really, like MVP caliber season, when you watch the film of Jared Goff, one of the things he struggles with consistently is just reading defenses out and making consistent throws versus zone coverage. And you see that kind of in the end of half, end of game drives, the 2 minute situations where he's really got to like sit back there and deal. He's not Joe Burrow in that regard. He is a big play down the field. I'm going to find chunks kind of quarterback. And when Joe Witt Jr. is calling a defense the way he's calling it, a lot of Tampa 2, really deep hook droppers, taking away those deep in breakers. Jared Goff's not at his best. And I think you saw that yesterday with the way he was turning the football over. And so I kind of felt that, you know, the defensive coordinator for Detroit, or the offensive coordinator for Detroit, excuse me, is kind of saying, we need to find an explosive chunk to limit some of the exposure of Jared Goff. And I think that the stress that Joe Witt Jr. put them under led to that kind of errant play call where you're having a non-quarterback make a quarterback decision and he gives you the football late in the third quarter.
All right, so let's get to Joe Witt against this Eagles offense. What is he going to have to do? Let's assume that Jalen Hurts is healthy, and that's a question mark because he got rolled up, his knee
doesn't look great.
He apparently was limping off the field, and we know his running ability is big. He showed it against Washington in the last matchup before he was concussed. But what does Washington have to do to limit Saquon Barkley in that offense?
Yeah, to me, this is the easiest preview show you're ever going to do with me. It's they got to stop Saquon Barkley. And so, how do you do that? I think you just say like the Eagles, they're the most talented roster in football. And so they're going to run counter. They're going to run duo. They're going to run a little outside zone. And once they've run it out of one formation in the game, that's how they run it for the entirety of the game. So once you've identified those looks and those fronts, like let's play eight man in the box. Let's be hyper aggressive to stop those runs. Because when you watch Jalen Hurts on film from the pocket, he has been struggling. He's not seeing it super well. He's not making great decisions. He's taken a lot of sacks the last three games specifically. And you're kind of saying to yourself, man, like I want him to try and beat us from the pocket. Yeah. And so how do you do that? You stop the run on first down, you get to second and 10. And that takes a little bit of courage, right? Because they have these explosive playmakers on the outside. They got AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, these guys that can absolutely kill you. So I understand what I'm saying here, but in terms of the guy that's going to kill you, like you watch the last game against the LA Rams, like it's three explosive runs from Saquon Barkley that's the difference in the game. You have to mitigate that. You have to say that is the more potent of two evils at this moment. So we're going to play eight-man boxes. We're going to bring big personnel out there. We're going to be hyper-physical up front, and we're going to make sure our corners and our secondary players are ready to fit and tackle a really good dynamic space player in Saquon Barkley. And to me, that's the game. If
Logan,
you can get that done,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Last question. We're kind of debating this. I think we agree now, but can we put to bed, because we've all debated this at times, that we don't have a true number one wide receiver. Can we now officially say, no matter what anybody says, we have a true top tier number one receiver?
I mean, it feels like, yeah. I mean, you guys are men of the people more than me. And I would say that you're probably getting a lot of calls each and every week talking about how Terry McLaurin is a true number one, and I think the film 100% supports that. So
okay, good.
That was the softball question right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
That's how we close it out, Logan.
Good.
Logan, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. You can listen to him on the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
That is Logan Paulson. Guests still to come on the show. Sam Monson joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll talk more Commanders and Eagles with him, and we'll talk some Washington Capitals puck with their head coach Spencer Carberry. He's coming on the show a day early. He's on at 9:40.